Mind our pen and more will die.
Your leaders are bigots.
Because the Pope wars on the Catholic Emperor.
Your generals are bandits.
Wars on the Catholic King of France.
You employ any mercenary you can get.
Wars on the Catholic King of Spain.
And the Pope plays politics, helped by 100 other princes, kings, bishops.
All for their own rotten purposes.
All sides are rotten, except for people like you. Religious fanatics who incite murder for the sake of a god they have never known. Don't you understand? There is no God!
Michael. That was Michael Caine, and the film was The Last Valley, if I remember right. One of the best films I ever saw about all this crap about white Christians fighting each other for 30 years. There was a 100 years war, the 30 years war, and so forth. Killing each other and killing women and children and destroying the land over religion. And that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. You should watch that film. Get an idea of what religious fanaticism brings to the race. Good morning. It's Terrible Tommy in the bunker. 0 degrees outside. Oh, boy. Wow, can you imagine all those prisoners of war, the Germans and so forth, that were dragged up there to the gulag in Siberia and the tremendous cold that they went through? And a good portion of them died, you know. So anyhow, cold is cold. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations, and it's time. Well, let's see, it's 15th. Okay, here's almost the deadline to get your donations in as soon as possible for the radio show, and that'll make me real happy. Well, my webmaster dug out a interview I did way back when I won the Democratic nomination in California. It was with George Putnam. Any of people that lived in California very long, you will remember George Putnam. He was a really good interviewer, a news reporter. He was known all over the country, but he was really more well known in California. So here we go.
KIEB, Glendale, serving Southern California. Los Angeles, Radio 87, the talk of the town. We're with you every day, Monday through Friday, 12 o'clock noon, right up until 1:30. And today, an extremely provocative program. Tom Metzger of the KKK, who has been chosen as the Democratic candidate, 43rd Congressional District, and he hails from Fallbrook, California. He's sitting right across from me now, and we're going to take some telephone calls. We're going to be busy with the news, and then we're going to do an interview with Tom Metzger, candidate in depth. Tom Metzger is sitting right here in the studios. He, of course, is probably best known as the head of the Ku Klux Klan. I almost swallowed that one. But he is also the candidate on the Democratic ticket for the 43rd Congressional District. So somebody must be supporting him, and we're going to find out why. Take a break. On Radio 87, the talk of the town. We update the news, make newsmaker telephone calls, and from time to time bring you provocative guests. Larry Manning, who does stories freelance around this community and in many of the national magazines, is doing an interview with Tom Metzger of the Ku Klux Klan, who has been the designate of the Democratic Party on the 43rd Congressional District race for Congress. And Tom Metzger comes to us with the courtesy of Larry Manning. Tim Harrell is here from City News Service, and Tim, come on over and join us because we may have some questions that we'd like to ask as we go along. I want to welcome again, haven't seen him since Channel 9 when Tommy Hawkins and I did that program up there, and he was our in-person guest, the top man of the Ku Klux Klan in the state of California, Tom Metzger. Welcome, Tom.
How do you do, George? Glad to be here.
My goodness, the changes that have taken place. You've gone into politics. You're an electronic man, and you work in Fallbrook area, as I recall.
Yes.
and your beautiful family. And I must tell you, you have a darling wife and about four of the most beautiful children I ever saw in my life.
And a fifth coming in a couple of weeks.
How do they feel about Daddy as the head of the Ku Klux Klan? Does that bother them a little bit? Do they get a little static in flack in school?
No, in fact, they're quite popular in school. My children have always been the head of the class, involved in all kinds of sports activities and so forth. They get along quite well with no problems at all.
How did you first become associated with the Ku Klux Klan? What was the motivation? What happened?
I think that I had stumbled around as a conservative for years, and I began to see that things based purely on economics were not entirely correct, and I basically became an angry American, and I was getting angrier, and I was thinking that the white middle class people in this country will be destroyed, and of course white people make up a majority of that middle class, and so I looked around for an organization who was going to stand up for white people, this dispossessed majority. There were none. And so I was impressed with David Duke's leadership of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan out of Louisiana, and I joined.
How old were you at that time, Tom?
Let's see, about 38.
Would there be any possibility that you might have joined the American Nazi Party if you didn't join the Ku Klux Klan?
No, I don't see that.
Why not? What difference would there be there?
Well, I'm not a socialist, and I do believe that, of course, the Klan organization is a native organization of the United States. I see a lot of fallacies in National Socialism. So I don't see that we have to import organizations necessarily.
All right, let's go back to the origins of the Ku Klux Klan. And I think last time we were together, I brought forth a little book that I had that was given to me years ago on the Ku Klux Klan. It was authentic. It originated, the Ku Klux Klan, as I recall, in Pulaski, Tennessee, December 24th of 1865.
Yes.
But at that time, wasn't it more or less a prankish social group? I mean, a group of kids who got together, college kids, didn't have anything else to do, and they put on white sheets and rode throughout the community and directed activities first against the Republican leaders of government, both the black and the white.
It was a social group that had, due to the problems of employment and various things, that had a lot of people idle in the South, came together. Most of these people were young college people and war veterans.
Now, weren't they considering Negroes at that time, as they do today, to be an inferior race? Would you use the word inferior?
They might have felt that way at the time. There were probably a lot of people felt that way at the time. I don't know. I wasn't there, George. A little difficult for me to say exactly what was in their mind.
But they did resent former slaves.
I think they resented the Big Brother government, just like we have today in this country, that stomped into the South and deprived white males from voting. And, of course, at that time, the women didn't have suffrage at all, the white women. And they were very appalled at the carpetbaggers who came in and defrauded the people from their lands and their farms. And the Union Leagues, a secret organization that was terrorizing both whites and blacks in the South prior to the rise of the Klan.
Let me read a quotation to you and see if it's proper. The Ku Klux Klan was an illegal underground terrorist group. They rode at night in sheets. They burned crosses. They flogged, mutilated, murdered, lynched blacks. All this in defense of white supremacy and the inviolability of white womanhood. Would you take issue with that?
I would say in a situation that we had in the South under Reconstruction, yes, there were probably instances of that happened. However, there's two sides to that story, and unfortunately, I don't believe the other side has ever been accurately portrayed.
What would you say is the other side to that story?
These people were fighting behind what they considered enemy lines. They were oppressed people. They had been disenfranchised. Their lands had been taken for taxes and so forth. And Lincoln had wanted to bring them back into the Union on a straight-out course where they were equal and so forth, but the radical abolitionists and the leftists of our government at that time were bound and determined to severely punish white people in the South, which led to this reaction.
Well, Tom Metzger, let me continue then some of the research that I did and see if I'm accurate. They declared determination to protect the weak and the defenseless, relieve the injured, depressed, and suffering. They were disbanded in 1869 because local elements had a certain element of uncontrollability and violence. In 1920, the Klan was activated again, attacked the Roman Catholic Church. In 1924, there were 3 million members. By 1929, only a few thousand. In 1940, the Klan joined German-American Bund, financed by Adolf Hitler. In 1944, disbanded, unable to pay back taxes. In the 1950s, resisted integration, opposed civil rights. In 1965, the membership stood at approximately 40,000. Is that fact or fiction?
some is fact and some is fiction. At the time that Nathan Bedford Forrest, a very brave and intelligent general, a veteran of the Civil War, disbanded the Klan, he did feel that things were getting a little bit out of hand, and their basic program that set out to achieve to return sovereignty to the white people of the South had been achieved. And so he did disband the organization, and these people became the backbone of the Democratic Party in the South.
Let me have your definition, if you will, Tom, as to how you feel about the black people. Inferior, superior, equals, what your feeling is about intermarriage, about equal rights under our Constitution. Give me a little thumbnail sketch of where you stand on the black issue first.
I think, obviously, the first thing that was wrong was for the wealthy interests of this country to try to make a quick buck bringing the blacks to the United States as slaves in the first place. Incidentally, of course, states like Massachusetts, where the Kennedys come from, were the most pro-slave states in the Union. And so I think that the black, obviously I see him as a person who has never really had self-determination in this country. He wasn't asked whether he was going to even be a citizen. And he continues to have a real problem because he is a minority within a majority. And so I agree and believe in racial separation along the lines of Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, and various other black leaders have felt through time. And so I don't have hatred for black people. I feel that they're being represented for the most part by the same bought-off, corrupt representatives that us white people are. And we're all under the gun of the super fat cats in this country.
All right, let's go to the difference between the national organization, the Ku Klux Klan, and the organization that you had here in the state of California, which is the California Klan. Where did you part company and under what circumstances and how do you differ?
Well, of course, it's been my desire ever since I joined this organization to move it into the political arena and move it in there as fast as I could to modernize the organization using modern techniques and training and computers and everything and legal training that we could do to become what I perceive as a lobby for white people in the state of California and hopefully as a model for the United States.
What about Catholics and Jews?
Well, when I joined the Klan, I was a practicing Catholic, baptized in the Catholic faith. My wife was born and raised as a Catholic, and her whole family's Catholic, so obviously I wasn't anti-Catholic. No, the new Klan, there is not an anti-Catholic element in the organization.
What about anti-Jew?
Well, Jews basically are not Christian, and so it's basically a Christian-oriented organization, so they're not allowed in.
All right, let's go to the 43rd District and how it was that you first of all decided to run for Congress. Is this your first attempt at public office?
A second. I ran for the Board of Supervisors about 2 years ago in the 5th District in the San Diego area. And
how'd you do?
11,000 votes, which was a fourth among four people running.
Yes, but now you've increased that representation and that constituency, and you received over 73,000 votes, didn't you?
No, it was only about, I believe, 37,000.
Oh, 37,
votes.
I reversed 37, the figure.
Yes.
All right.
Which I feel, once I received the 11%, I felt that was the foundation to move from, but I must swiftly move from the basically Republican arena in the Democratic arena because I find that the most disenfranchised people, as I perceive them, in California Democratic Party of white middle-class working people who have been, unfortunately, the party has been taken from them by leftist liberals and has been firmly in their control for years.
Tom, do you believe that the people who voted for you, the constituency in that area, and I believe it encompasses, let's see, Riverside County, part of San Diego?
All of San Diego County, almost all of San Diego, and part of Riverside, all of Imperial. It goes from the Pacific Coast to Arizona.
All right. Those people in the 43rd District who voted for Tom Metzger, were they, number one, aware of the fact that you are the top man of the Ku Klux Klan in the state of California, or didn't they give a damn because they put the issues ahead of your membership in the Klan?
Well, number one, they did put the issues ahead of my membership in the Ku Klux Klan because I said, look, I'm simply like you, a working person trying to find some answers that can lead us out of this mess we're in.
When you went to them, what was your presentation? What was your platform? What were your key points that you made in a discussion with the various constituents out there?
My key points, of course, were jobs and housing. My key points were illegal immigration and refugee programs that were causing us problems in housing and so forth, such as the $100 million medical ripoff here in Los Angeles. I talked about nuclear power, nuclear energy. I spoke to local issues such as places that we needed dams that people had been working, trying to get for years, and their representatives have not been helping them. So and issues like in the Imperial Valley, considering the problems with the small farmers as opposed to the large farmers and so on.
Tom, were there those who said, I hate the Klan, I hate everything it stands for, but I like what you're talking about and the issues that you represent?
I think that's politics. I think that if you're looking for a perfect, purist individual, you're not going to find them. I'm very suspicious of anyone I agree with totally. And so I think the person out on the street has street savvy, and he says, look, there's a guy who's talking my language. He's saying what he wants to do, and I don't agree with these issues. And if he wants to be in the Klan, that's his business. Some of them voted for me because I was in the Klan. There's thousands of different reasons.
July 6th, the Sunday edition of the Herald Examiner. I read the story here, and it has to do with the shooting of a young black who was a lineman, and he was up repairing a line, and he was shot while repairing that line. It happened to be black, and they accused the Klan of perpetrating this deed. What's your reaction to that kind of an attack on a helpless black up there going about making a living?
Well, this is ridiculous, and I'm totally against it. Obviously, this does no good for white people, does no good for the Klan, or does no good for Tom Metzger. It's totally ridiculous.
But does the Klan accept responsibility?
Absolutely not. What we have here is some people, irresponsible people in the media now, that every time something happens that involves a white man, suddenly they say he's supposedly a Klansman, but the story never follows. No, we found out he wasn't a Klansman. Or if it does, it's buried on the 50th page. So this is ridiculous, and the Klan has nothing to gain by this type of activity.
They call that a hotbed of the Klan. How many Klan members? One estimate says it's as low as 20.
Well, we don't give out information on the Klan membership, but in that particular area, there are quite a large amount of Klansmen. And there are different Klan organizations, George, still operating in the state of California that are not necessarily under my control.
Your candidacy, Tom, has sent shockwaves throughout the regular Democratic hierarchy, has elicited vows from your own party to prevent you from being elected. Why does the party shun you? They don't have anything else, do they, in that election?
No, they don't. In fact, what has been happening for years in the 43rd Congressional District, it's not that the Republicans are so strong, because the representative seems to really support the upper elitist class people in society. And so the reason that they continually win in the 43rd is almost like somebody's making a deal. The Democrats purely lay down and put up somebody for a candidacy that is an extreme left-wing liberal that nobody would buy, and so the middle-class working people just stay home. And so the Republicans win it by default.
Ex-Police Chief Davis, and here I'm getting to violence, you don't appear to me, and never have in the interviews I've done with you, to be a violent man or violently disposed. But let's just take what Ex-Police Chief Davis had to say. He said if the KKK is allowed to proceed unmolested, they would not hesitate to commit murder to accomplish their goals. Now, I wonder if that's a proper evaluation and assessment on the part of the former chief of police, Ed Davis, of the KKK.
Well, I would wonder what's in the mind of Chief Davis, whether he's advocating the abridgment of my constitutional rights to persecute me because of some imagined thing I might be involved in. What I do is open to the public. There's hardly any secrecy involved. I do keep the membership list as secret as possible because of retribution on people's jobs. We're out in the open. If the police want to follow me around, that's fine. I can use the protection sometimes. We're not involved in anything that would give him something to talk about.
Tom,
that's a ridiculous statement, and I think it speaks poorly to his IQ.
Tom Metzger, in-person guest. This is not taped or recorded or delayed. We're here in person. And he, of course, the head of the KKK in the state of California and the Democratic candidate in the 43rd congressional race. We're going to continue in a moment asking him such questions as, what about the illegal immigration, the illegals that flow across the Mexican border? What about jobs in that particular area? Was that the key issue? And a dozen other questions, and I'm sure that you'll want to get on the telephone with him, and perhaps Larry Manning, a freelance investigative reporter, and Tim Harrell of the City News Service might also have some questions for Tom Metzger. Tom is ready to meet all comers. Let's observe the rules of good taste, and we'll go from there. My person, he, of course, the candidate on the Democratic ticket for the 43rd Congressional District. He is also the chief of the Ku Klux Klan here in the state of California. As I look at you, Tom, you don't look like a very violent person. Have you been involved at any point in out-and-out violence? What about that situation down there at Camp Pendleton? Were you mixed up in that with the Marines?
the only point that I was mixed up into it was trying to protect the rights of white Marines that were falsely accused or really had no accusation at all, that were hustled away and their constitutional rights were abridged simply because they lived in the same barracks where the attack took place, while the criminals, every organization in the country, were coming to their defense. Very strange situation happening within our military at that time.
How many members of the Ku Klux Klan were, you say, are also in the Marine Corps?
We don't give out that information.
Do you have some?
Yes, we do.
Do you have some in the Army?
Yes.
In the Navy?
All branches.
Air Force?
All branches.
All branches.
Where there's white people, there are Klan people.
All right, let's get to the business of the influx of the illegal aliens into your district. What is the problem? How many involved? How many jobs do you think are threatened? Give me a kind of an overall look at this situation.
Well, first of all, I stepped back and started looking at the statistics that were coming out of Mexico, and that is that we have a population there where half of the people in Mexico are unemployed. 700,000 of those of the people coming into the job market each year, with only a place for around 300,000 of these people. We have massive, the highest murder rate per capita in the world, the highest birth rate per capita in the world. Mexico City is well on its way of becoming the largest city in the world. And what we have is a system in Mexico that does not work. Like many of these third world nations, they have bad governments and it does not work well. They have never allowed the middle class to flourish in Mexico. So what we have is a powder keg in Mexico. And the Mexican government is very relieved to be able to relieve itself of these people coming across the border, because it takes the steam out of a pressure cooker, which is going to explode one of these days. And so we see a different type of people coming across the border than when I first moved to Fallbrook. It was mainly just a straight working peasant that was trying to get a little money, maybe go back to Mexico, buy him a little land, and get someplace. But now we're seeing a new breed coming through. We're seeing they're packing narcotics for the organized crime. We see that many of them are armed. The murder rate is extremely high in the county between these people killing each other. Now they have attracted gang violence on themselves because of living in slave standards, in many cases surrounding these large, like, plantations, you might as well call them today. Where they become victims of gangs that come out from the city, narcotics, distribution, and they steal the pay of these people. So becoming a tremendous problem. And really it's ending up right here in Los Angeles in areas like this. We've had 1,200,000 white people have left Los Angeles in the last 10 years. But yet my statistics show that that vacuum has been totally filled by Mexican nationals, the illegal aliens. And so at what point... And does the United States leadership wake up and grasp the tremendous, horrendous problem that is on the horizon?
What should we be doing? What would you do if you went to Congress on this very issue?
Well, number one, we would immediately have to have solid legislation to make it illegal to hire these illegal aliens. I would like to see a program to where it would be illegal to hire a person who is not a citizen of the United States. I think that we have to take care of our own workers. I think that in a case like Chrysler Corporation now, who is taking advantage of tax money to bail itself out, I believe our representatives should have put riders on that bill to insist that Chrysler Corporation build larger plants in the United States and expand here. But yet Chrysler is bragging that it's the biggest growing automotive plant in Mexico. It is bigger than Volkswagen now, and it's bragging that it's spending $15,000 to create each job that it's creating in Mexico. These are areas that I want to attack. It's a two-pronged front. One, the fat cats who want the cheap labor and who are exporting U.S. jobs, and the others are the fat cats who want to create a new, really it's an antebellum South type situation in the Southwest.
Tom Metzger, head of the Ku Klux Klan, state of California. He is the Democratic candidate for the 43rd Congressional District. And, of course, it goes without saying that his opponent will be invited to have equal opportunity to be heard, equal time in this program, if he so wishes. Now, did you serve in the military, Tom?
Yes, I did.
What branch?
Army Signal Corps.
How long? Where?
3 years in the United States and Germany.
Yeah. All right, then you served alongside, as I did, with a lot of our black buddies, a lot of Chicanos, a lot of Filipinos, and others. A lot of my black buddies, first in the Army and then in the Marine Corps, spilled their guts and blood all over the Pacific to maintain our way of life and to fight for our precious freedom. Having paid that in personal sacrifice, don't you think they deserve the same rights as you and I do?
They do deserve
all
rights.
Of them?
They do deserve rights.
Every right?
Nobody's trying to take that away from them.
What would you take from them?
I think we should really give them the right, self-determination. And I'm saying that black people understand this, and many white people, especially the non-liberal element, that black people really have never had self-determination. Did the black people get to vote whether they want to be bussed all over the valley? Did they ever get asked to vote on these things? They were not asked where they wanted to be citizens, but yet they said, now you're a citizen. And so what I'm saying is that the black people have never had black representation, and it continues today. They kill off the black leaders.
Why doesn't the Ku Klux Klan really reverse their field and really surprise those who are opposed to them by going out on a massive attempt to hire blacks, particularly those 18, 19, 20-year-old kids who are unemployed, have no place to go?
Well, I have...
Why don't you do something as positive as that?
Well,
Gosh, would you shock America?
Well, you'd be surprised, George, but I receive a lot of black support in the 43rd District.
From whom?
Black people. I carried all the black precincts in the 43rd Congressional.
Why? How could this happen? They knew you remembered the Ku Klux Klan.
But I talked straight to them, and I got through that barrage, that smokescreen that is put up by the liberal establishment. And I got to them. They understand what I'm talking about. I said I was probably going to appoint a black man to the State Central Committee of the Democratic Party, and I have several... resume sitting on my desk right now from reputable black people in the black community that want to be appointed to that position.
I don't understand this line of reasoning. You, of course, consider yourself to be, I suppose, a white racist, just as some blacks consider themselves to be racist.
Yes.
Yet you stated you'd appoint a black like Malcolm X, for instance, to the Democratic County Central Committee. Is this for sure, or is this grandstanding?
Well, what happened was that I was told I was going to get three appointments to the State Central Committee, and at that time I said definitely I would appoint a black. Now I find out I only get three unless I win the election. When I win the election, I get three more. So faced with the three, I'm not going to be able to, but with the six in the fall, then I'll be able to definitely do it. But I still can have an advisory group. I'm going out to agriculture. I'm going out to the construction industry. I'm going out. There's Mexican Americans that are totally incensed with this problem in the schools and along the border area, the almost spitting on the American flag, and a lot of Mexican American people don't feel that way, you see. And black people, no reason I can't have people like that sit down and talk about their problems.
Now, if a black that you appointed were suddenly to take a strong stand for busing, could you go along with that?
No, because that would be counterproductive for my people and his people both.
We're talking with Tom Metzger, who's head of the Ku Klux Klan in the state of California. He is the Democratic candidate for the 43rd congressional seat. And we're going to continue this interview. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to come on in because I see the switchboard is full. Please, good taste. We're going to be talking with freelance writer Larry Manning, who brought Tom to us. His article, his interview, is going to appear in the Herald Examiner. Also, Tim Harrell of City News Service is sitting right over here, a longtime buddy and associate who used to produce the Marv Gray Show and Joe Pine Show and all the rest of them. You folks out there, turn around and take a bow there. Yeah, Tim, that's our Tim right there. So we're going to continue in just a moment, Pete Jones, you and I. Pete, by the way, our producer on the show, just happens to, by a quirk of nature, to be black. This must be a very fascinating conversation you're listening to, Pete. Have you something to add to it before we take a break?
Well, it would take more than the time we are. But,
what about an appointment? If Tom offered you an appointment on his committee, would you take it?
If we could agree on certain points, but no. I doubt if we could.
All right, now what are some of the points at which you're at variance? You think it's take too long right now?
Probably. I mean, to get in depth.
Yeah.
It would take too long. We could talk later.
I'll tell you, Tom, you have one of the most articulate blacks, one of the most articulate producers I've ever met, and he'll be taking us all on in just a moment. But right now, let's you and I take a break.
Okay.
Radio 87, the talk of the town, and we're talking with Tom Metzger, the head of the Ku Klux Klan in the state of California. I know that you're out there waiting to talk with him. Keep one question, please. One question to a person. Keep them short. He has his earphones. I have mine. Then we'll get to Larry and to Tim in just a moment. Hello, you're on. It's your turn to talk back. Come in.
Yes, hello, Mr. Putnam. How are you?
Well, now, I have a guest here, and I'd rather...
Yes, I know you do, and I'd like to speak to him. I'd like to make the two questions in one. May I do that?
Yes.
Tom, how are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Yes, you said that wherever the whites go, the Klan goes.
Yes.
Does that also apply like to appeal to the LAPD.
Of course.
The Klan's been in the LAPD. Now, Mr.
We don't discriminate among white people.
I thought that. Yes, the Klan was in the LAPD. Now, if you had a choice, Tom, between Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, that is, who do you think would be better for the country? If you had to make that hard choice between the two.
No comment.
Oh, come on, Tom. You're an old buddy of Ronnie's, so you can level with that.
Don't put words in the guest's mouth now.
All I can say is I wish we had a place on our ballot for none of the above.
Louis, that must have hurt.
No, listen, let's put it this way. We know that Tom's an old buddy of Ronnie, so...
Where did you find this, that I was an old buddy of Ronnie?
Well, you said you were originally a conservative. You know, you started out as a conservative. Mr. Reagan's a conservative. Your views and his views are all alike. He opposes the ERA. You oppose the ERA. You're for strong defense. He's for strong defense.
Now, if you back off from the telephone, we don't want to miss one single word here, so don't overshadow.
No problem. You and Mr. Reagan are just like two peas in a pod. You know that. Why are you ashamed of backing Mr. Reagan? He's a conservative just like you.
I think the conservative, just like liberal, has been so overworked and nobody understands what it is anymore. If you look at his record as a governor of the state of California, it was anything but conservative.
We know you're a buddy. You don't have to be ashamed of it. We know that you don't want to come out and...
You're leading the witness now, Louis.
No,
he's not a Marxist, Louis.
No, I know, but I just
Let's
want to
make
say
that a point. He's not a communist.
No, I just want to say this, Tom. You've got a terrific organization, and you spread brotherhood all over the country.
Thank you very much, I think. Now it's your turn. George Putnam here with Tom Metzger. It's your turn.
Hello, George.
Hello.
Thank you, and your station KIEV, and Mr. Tom Metzger. For at least abiding by the rules of good taste, no one shouted at anyone until Louis came on, and you backed him off from that telephone, which is correct, so that we might hear his words of wisdom. But of all the rules and reasoning and logic you certainly allowed on that station, and both you gentlemen have been real gentlemen here. Now then, when it comes to Ku Klux Klan, you probably don't believe in it. I don't probably believe in it, but to my surprise, I find people, since... Mr. Messenger Metzger has been elected, and I'm wondering why the IMF, the CFR, and the Trilateral Commission are not included as the International Ku Klux Klan, because they'll do more damage and have done more damage than all the local Ku Klux Klan combined over 100 years here in the United States.
I agree 100% with you on that.
Now then, here's another thing. Now these poor blacks of ours down here in Miami, remember, they were forced citizens for a lot longer than maybe your heritage or mine or even George's, forced in this country. Now then, they're supposed to get by on, I believe, $90-some a month when the Cubans, communistic invaders, are going to be paid $150 a week. Now, Mr. Putman had the finest programs, I believe it was on July the 3rd, and various other programs. I listened to him last night, and believe me, he is pro-United States. Now, here's where the trouble, it seems to me, comes in. Now, I don't know hundreds of people. I'm not. I'm just a little local guy, retired, I pay my taxes, own my home. But there's certainly something wrong when the United States of America will furnish the United States Navy ships, the Coast Guard, to bring in our enemies and dump them, $120,000, in on the taxpayers of Florida and tell how nice they are, and then have a number of our soldiers. Now think of it. Soldiers injured. They had to be hospitalized. And then the President of the United States last night tell how wonderful those people are when he knows they're communists. George Putnam gave a wonderful report on the Russians, what they're doing in Cuba.
All right, now, in all fairness, because this switchboard is absolutely loaded, let's get a response now from Tom. And please, when you call, one question, please.
Okay, I'll make this one.
All right.
I'll make this one question, George, and I don't think you'll disagree with it.
Well, here's Tom.
Tom, Mr. Metzger.
Yes.
Has the Ku Klux Klan ever jumped on the black people in Miami to cause a terrible lot of expense there, probably $75 to $100 million, for their little prey against those invaders coming in there and dumped on...
All right, let's get a response.
I'll tell you that immediately after that riot took place, I sent a telegram to the President of the United States, and I held him responsible. I charged him with the crime that upon knowing of the problem of poor whites and blacks in that community for years, that they'd been losing their jobs and housing prior to this time, and with hardly any open rental apartments and homes open, that when he dropped all those people in there, he should have been charged with a crime and taken before the bar of justice. And I sent that to him. That's exactly the way I feel.
All right, now it's your turn. You're on with Tom Metzger.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
This is Bill from South Los Angeles.
Welcome, Bill.
Hello, Mr. Metzger.
Hi.
I've never had the privilege to speak to someone from the Ku Klux Klan. George, do you have your copy of Assembly Bill 528?
I don't have it here, no, sir.
Would you please give Mr. Metzger a copy?
All right.
Okay, now, I'm the gentleman who sent you that.
All right.
Okay, now, Mr. Metzger, you wondered how you could get attract so much of a black vote down in your district. Let me quote some statistics for you. I read in the Herald Examiner yesterday, 20,000 people from Cuba were homosexuals. They busted some for dope. There's prostitutes, there's murders, there's robbers, and there's mental problems. Now, on to the illegal aliens crossing the border from Mexico. 61% of all births in the county of Los and county hospitals are to illegal alien women. According to Roberta Weintraub, over 100,000 illegal alien children are in their schools. They're exploding the gang problem here. There's probably over 1 million illegal aliens here in the city of Los Angeles alone. It is making the housing shortage worse, causing the people from this community not only compete for jobs, but housing too. Do you have any response, Mr. Metzger?
Yes, I have all of those figures, and they're very correct. And, of course, the figures show that the U.S. citizen influx into the state of California or to the L.A. area has equalized itself out. There's just as many people, United States citizens, leaving as coming in. And also the black community has equalized itself out as far as the people leaving the state, as far as black people coming in. So the vacuum has really been filled by the Mexican people. And you are sitting, sir, on top of a time bomb, and I think you know it. Los Angeles is disintegrating from under your feet. And when I was running in the primary for this position, obviously, talking to the black people, if I'm going to protect and try to help American workers, U.S. working people, and work for the interests of white people, you know as well as I do, in many of these jobs, it's the black people that go first when it comes to illegal aliens. So it's across the board, and there's no way you can separate this struggle.
Thank you, Bill, very much. And now it's your turn. Come in very quickly.
Yes, I would like to know how Mr. Metzger can call himself a Christian. Because when you're a Christian, you try to live what Christ taught. And I'm sure he is appalled at hooded Klansmen riding at night. I mean, it just isn't the way it is.
Well, there's all different views on Christianity.
I'm
a more militant Christian than some. I liked it when Christ went into the synagogue of that day and wrapped the cord around his fist and drove those damn money changers out. And I'd like to do it to the Federal Reserve System and some Wall Street people in this country.
Oh, that's not a comparison at all.
It isn't?
Oh, no.
Well, uh-huh. It's far worse in this country than it was in Palestine at that time.
No. Your people rode at night and tortured these people, burned their places. Maybe what Christ did, I'm sure he had a good reason to do, but you can't compare yourself to Christ.
No, I'm not comparing myself
to
Christ.
Well, you were comparing your work to his work, and that's not right.
Well, it depends. You know, the Klan, a lot of people don't read their history. The Klan built many orphans' homes throughout the West Coast and the Southwest during the 20s. The Klan was instrumental in getting legislation for compulsory education, the first compulsory education law in the United States, of which many other states picked it up as a model. So to read all those slick magazines and go to all these kosher movies, you're going to get a warped perspective of the Klan.
Well, you can't deny what the Klan did in this past history. You can't compare anything good you've done to what the bad things you've done.
Madam, we've been more than kind and generous with our time. We must move on.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Indeed. Now let's go to which one, Peter?
Line one.
Thank you. Yes, you're on with Tom Metzger. Your turn to talk back.
Good morning, George.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Metzger, George and a few others are constantly talking about the decline of the work ethic among Americans. And they have trumpeted the cause of these Cubans coming in the country. Now, yesterday, the Washington Post reported that of the Cubans that came in this latest exodus, as many as 20,000 of them were homosexual. Yeah. What do you have to say about that?
Well, of course, that's atrocious and a very bad situation, but it's going to continue as long as national leaders take on the excesses of the world simply to try to gain a few votes, which I don't understand how they figure they're going to get the votes. It's atrocious. We have to break also the welfare bureaucracy in this country, and all our politicians talk about welfare, but what I mean, some real programs, and I mean programs with teeth in them. I would like to see HEW and HUD funds diverted out of the Los Angeles area for more public housing, which creates a larger welfare burden for the workers of Los Angeles, and move these some of these public housing buildings and so forth into places like the Imperial Valley and San Joaquin Valley, and put these people to work in the fields.
Thank you very much. That's all we have time for with that one. Sitting out here in the audience, I understand, is a Republican Assembly candidate, Mr. John Kennedy. And somehow, in a story, he was linked to the Ku Klux Klan. Now, to what degree is he linked? He's not a member, is he, Tom?
No, he's not. He's a very good friend of mine, and we agree on many of the issues.
All right, but you agree on such issues as you're opposed to mandatory busing, forced busing?
Yeah. I haven't found anyone that's for busing lately.
Well, I think you're looking at one who agrees on that one. What are some of the other things that you have in common with Mr. Kennedy?
Oh, I believe he feels that, and I'm not going to put words in his mouth,
no.
But I think the illegal alien problem, the job problem, the tremendous welfare burden, the welfare burden in this country is beginning to make slaves out of working people. We're becoming enslaved to a welfare class in this country, and the working people don't like it. It's destroying the middle class.
Well, I think it's amazing because he has an upset victory on his record in last month's Republican primary for the 40th Assembly District that's out in the valley, which pits him against the incumbent, Tom Bain, this November. It's interesting to me that Mr. John Kennedy only spent a grand total of $281.10 for the race, the cost of the filing fee. Now, he's come up here to the microphone, and I understand that he appeared with Ray Bream and you on another program, happened to call in. I want to set the record straight and hear from John Kennedy's mouth exactly where he stands. Hello, John, and welcome.
Hi.
Are you a member of the Klan?
No, I'm not.
Well, how did you happen to be linked with Tom Metzger and the Ku Klux Klan, or some of the parallel issues?
Well, I met Tom over a year ago, and just on a social basis, and we get talking about politics and religion, and basically, we were coming in on the same wavelengths.
Do you approve of what I have read here in introducing Tom Metzger concerning some of the alleged violence of the Ku Klux Klan and some of the background of the Klan writing about in white sheets and terrorizing the community?
Well, when the explosion took place up in the valley about 2 weeks ago, when they found out I was linked with Tom or associated with Tom and knew him, they felt the same way. But I'll tell you the same thing I told at the meeting. All my life, as a young lad growing up back in the Midwest, I too was born and raised as a Roman Catholic. And on the newsreels we used to see the pictures of the white hoods and the burning crosses, and we were told that these were haters of Jews and colored people and Catholics. And, of course, that last part got to me because I was a Catholic. And so I was trying to figure out all my life why they hated me. I didn't know them, and they didn't know me. And then after meeting Tom a little over a year ago, he asked me, he said, would you be offended if I sent you some literature in the mail pertaining to the Klan? And I said, no, not at all. And so what I did read, what Tom sent me and what I read, is I found no hate literature at all. Quite the contrary, it was more concerned about the white Christian race.
John, if he asked you to, would you campaign for Tom Metzger?
Yes.
And would he campaign for you?
If it fit within the rules of the parties that we respectively belong to. I don't want our enemies to be able to drive us out of the party on some technicality.
How do you feel about the Democratic Party, John? And how does Tom feel about it? Do you think that they should have, regardless of the candidate, moved in and said, we support you? It was the will of the people?
Well, it seems to me it's not a slap in my face. It's a slap in the face of 32,000 people that are sick and tired of liberal leftist nuts running the party.
And when you go down to, you know, I was down in Louisiana for some time handling a campaign for Mr. Duke a few years ago in an urban metropolitan around the university there. And I found that their Democrat candidate sounded just like the conservative Republicans or a lot like the conservative Republicans out here. So it depends on where you're at in the country, how these different people from different parties sound.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you for coming up to our microphone and setting the record straight and allowing yourself to be heard.
Thank you.
All right. Now, we're going to get back in just a moment, and then I'm going to call in Larry Manning and Tim Harrell, who have some questions for Tom Metzger. I'm sure you do, too. The Ku Klux Klan in the state of California, the congressional candidate on the Democratic ticket for the 43rd District, he lives in Fallbrook, beautiful area down there. I always stop by, Tom, on my way to Del Mar each summer. It's, oh, that is beautiful. And you make your home there with your lovely family.
Yes, I do.
And they're about the most beautiful kids you ever saw in all your life. But the business at hand, here's Larry Manning. He's writing an interview with Tom Metzger for the Herald Examiner and Tim Harrell, who's here from the City News Service. So, gentlemen, here you go. Larry?
Tom, it is generally regarded that those who belong to the Klan are not very bright and that they primarily lack self-esteem. So, in essence, they use the minorities to vent out their inadequacies. How would you respond to such an out?
I don't believe that could be. That's too much of a generalization. Obviously, in an organization like in the 20s that had, George said 3 million, I've heard as high as 7 million, and we had a tremendous amount of professional people and governors and senators and everything, it'd be a little hard to equate it to that.
Well, the blacks for many years have been put into a subservient position within our country. Is it about time to give them better educational facilities to help to motivate their self-esteem and therefore make them an intricate part of our free enterprise system?
Obviously, you'd have all the money in the world to do that if we weren't spending so much on all these experimentations of busing and so forth. There would be tons of money for black schools.
Tom, a few minutes ago you were expounding upon the membership of the Klan in the armed services. Isn't it also a fact that there are several members of law enforcement that are members of the Klan?
Well, we're very careful about letting law enforcement people into the organization. Due to it, it becomes quite a problem for them balancing things out for themselves. So, but we will. We'll let them as long as they understand the total nature of the organization.
What kind of a percentage would you estimate law enforcement officers make up the Klan?
Very low. Very small. We don't actively go out trying to recruit every policeman we run into.
Do you find for the most part that a lot of police officers are sympathetic to the views of the Klan?
The police department's like any other area of society. It's split maybe right down the middle. A lot of the people believe a lot of things we do and support some of the things we do, and others hate us with a passion, would do anything to put us out of business.
Now, earlier you said that you would hope to move the Klan into the political arena. Do you feel that your candidacy in the congressional race is doing that?
Yes, I do, but I think it's not so much even moving the Klan into the political arena. It's moving working, middle-class, small-business-type people that are totally upset and want to change something in this country into the political arena, and they just happen to be Klansmen, a lot of them.
There has been a great influx of illegal aliens into your district. Could it be said that a large percentage of the votes you received were against them and not for your candidacy?
I think that there is some of that, yes. I think all elections have a lot to do with this. People, if they're opposed to something or for something, they want somebody to represent their views, and evidently I represented their views, and I didn't make much of a score with the super rich down there, I'll tell you that. It's interesting that the communist elements and the super rich are both on the same track going parallel. The super rich want massive amounts of cheap labor, and the communists are in it too. They want to build a proletarian army. It's interesting to see. And it's interesting to see the leftist elements wanting to move more and more illegal aliens and refugees into the country to be used as strikebreakers against the unions. This is really something that the leftists are always talking about being for working people and labor unions, but they're trying to destroy the labor unions.
If elected, would you support efforts to make housing more available for the working people and the elderly? And would this also include the blacks and the minorities?
Well, obviously, the laws of the United States, that is the system we run under. Yes, it would benefit those people. But I'm talking about working, poor, and disabled people. Now, you know that the refugees coming into the United States are supposed to be sponsored, especially the Asian refugees. And Senator Percy found that within 3 months average, they default on their sponsorship, the churches and all these other individuals. And then immediately these refugees go on the SSI federal Social Security program, robbing our own blind and disabled. I can't understand this. I can't understand this misplaced humanitarianism.
Tom, whether it be true or not, in the recent months there's been a resurgence of violence that have been attributed to the Klan, both in the South and even growing amount in the West. Why does the Klan feel that it needs to use violence in one form or another, whether it be a cross-burning or whether it be another form of violence, to get their point across?
They don't, and I'm nowhere involved in that at all. I mean, when we try to have free speech to get a hall to say what we have to say, to find people want to listen and explain our ideas to, and we're attacked by leftist groups and we have to fight our way out, that's self-defense. I don't want it that way because that inhibits my ability to reach the public. I have everything to lose and nothing to gain by any violent problem.
Well, that's one example. But what about other instances where there have been incidents that you have not been attacked, that there have been attacks on various black families, cross-burnings? There have been, a couple of years ago, several cross-burnings out in the San Fernando Valley area that were attributed to the Klan.
Well, you know, last year there was a real epidemic of incidences that mostly were in the northern part of the state, and there was a lot of radio time and television time, oh, the Klan's doing this, Klan's doing that. But 100% of these actions, they followed up on them. They found it wasn't anybody involved with the Klan at all. And so what we're seeing is a rash of people seeing movies and going out and thinking they understand what the Klan's involved with. And I think another thing is happening. I believe that the NAACP had sort of gotten to the bottom of the barrel on their funds due to their inability to get the response from their own community. And I think that the NAACP, especially in the northern part of the state, has been attempting to use the Ku Klux Klan as a straw man to get more interest and more money back into the NAACP. That's an old trick, you know.
Tom Metzger, ladies and gentlemen, and I note, as I said at the outset, that perhaps it was all based on frivolity at the beginning, these kids who didn't have enough to do. I found something very interesting in reading the Constitution, the Invisible Empire. The Imperial Wizard or the Grand Dragon, correct me if I'm wrong, presides over the Invisible Empire or the Imperial Convocation. The realms under the Convocation are known as the Carrero. The convention of a province is known as the Converse. A convention is a conclave. Everything beginning with a K. The initiation fee, the Klekakon. The elected delegates, known as Klepiers, a Klalif and a Klagrap, preside over a convocation. The Imperial Consilium is the Supreme Advisory Board. Other officers of the Klan designated as the Imperial Klalif, Imperial Klazik, Imperial Klokard, Imperial Klud, Imperial Klagrap, Imperial Klabi, Imperial Clad, Imperial Clardico, Imperial Clexter, Imperial Clonsel, Imperial Nighthawk, and
George,
the Imperial Cloquet.
That was from the 20s. We don't use that
I
stuff
know,
anymore.
I know, but that's your whole
well,
case of your organization.
Go down to the Masons and you find a lot of weird terms in any of these lodges.
Well, it all adds up to Imperial Crud, as far as I'm concerned, then, and you disassociate yourself with that particular thing which you say
I'm the state chairman.
In the 20s. All right, Tom Metzger, come back and see us again, and you've had an opportunity now to speak your piece. I hope that the man who's opposing you, by the way, what is the other candidate's name?
Ferguson? I just call him What's-His-Name.
All right. What's-His-Name? You have an open date with us. It's your opportunity. Tom Metzger of the Ku Klux Klan here in person. He is the congressional candidate, 43rd District, State of California.
Thank you, George.
Very interesting program, and thank you very, very much, Tim Harrell and Larry Manning. We'll be back tomorrow, 12 o'clock noon. Now, here comes the Grand Clud himself, Sid Barlow. He's coming in.
Well, there's a lot of water crossed under the bridge since then. Incidentally, I got 56,000 votes, not 37,000 votes in that election. That was back in the day when they had the equal rights to free speech on the radio. I forget what they called that, but I could get in the newspapers and I could get in the radio stations and so forth to rebut the accusations leveled against me and so forth. So I was in the media all the time, and there were a few good guys like George Putnam here that was very friendly, and Wally George, I forget how many shows I did with him, 9 or 10 shows at least. And then in the 80s, the late 80s, I began to get on every television show in the country, every major TV show in the country, and some of them more than once. I did 9 shows with Geraldo Rivera, or Jerry King, the Jew, the half-Jew, yeah. But how many people do you see on national television or even regional television now that represent the white race, the white racial struggle? You don't see any. I haven't seen any in a long time. Yeah, the most they'll do is call you on the phone and ask you a question, and they'll edit the question out, and it'll come out 180 degrees out of phase. Even David Duke, I mean, he used to be on the television shows all the time. And but even he, you don't see much on major TV or newspapers. Right now, during this last campaign, of course, him coming out and supporting Donald Trump was, you know, he was riding on the shirt tails of Donald Trump to build his mailing list. But still, they don't leave him talk on TV hardly at all. So that's the way it is now. There's no free speech. They say you can speak, but you don't have the right to be heard. You can go stand on a soapbox down at the park and yell and scream all you want, but you can't get into the area of communication because they know race works. The race struggle is specific and adequate. So the corporations that run the media, and don't just say it's the Jews, because there's a hell of a lot more white Christians involved in that than even the Jews keeping us off the radio and TV. But they're not going to win. And the very fear they have of putting us on, they can claim, well, it'll cause violence. That's not it. They know that most people are certainly partially racist and scares the bejesus out of them, because they know sooner or later the dam's going to break again. It always does. So anyhow, old George, he's passed away. George had a horse ranch up there on the outskirts of Los Angeles, and he used to take his horses down to Hollywood Park and some of the other racetracks, and we used to see him all the time. He was a good guy. I liked George Putnam. In fact, he did come to see me and met my family and everything at least once down in Fallbrook, California. Remember, this timing was about 1980, and I had been in the anti-illegal alien struggle since the early 70s. And also the anti-Cuban Mariel boat lift and all that kind of stuff. So I was out there. We had men on the border marching around and all that kind of stuff back in the day. And then we put together a few like squad cars under the Klan. We were roaming around the border with radios and TV cameras and everything else. It was a worldwide story. But you see how much was done about it, because the rich class, the ruling class, they want the cheap labor, and the Democrats not only want the cheap labor, but they want the people to build their party. And so I think the biggest mistake ever made was for the white working class to leave the Democrat Party. They should have stayed and fought it out and taken it over, because there's a lot of issues in that area that white working people agree with. But they were so upset about the influx of all the non-whites into the party, they left, and the Republican Party brought them in. Not because they believed anything that white working people wanted, but they wanted to use them, and they've been using them ever since. This whole right-wing conservative thing is nothing but an elitist class club, and it's not working class oriented at all, except at election time. Then they love everybody. They love all the white people. Well, they never talk about white people. They don't say white race. We had to leave it up to Hillary Clinton to identify us white people as throwaways. Okay, that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow. Is Freya's Day, and I hope it warms up. 14:5.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network with your humble host, Tom Metzger, Table Tommy. This show originates and is being broadcasted live from the Bunker in Warsaw, Vienna. Right next door is Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern. It's a friendly little tavern where friends meet to drink and sometimes eat. Also nearby is Terrible Tommy's weapons of mass destruction used equipment yard, where you can purchase tanks, half tracks, or any other weapon of mass destruction for pennies on the dollar. If you like, Tommy invites you to visit his website, resist.com, and spend some time up there and look around. You can read news and news, listen to our live radio shows, listings of items to buy, information on where to send you donations, and just a lot of good useful information. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy another show from the Insurgent Radio Network.